Well, I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here with you. Good to be at this church again and take part in worshiping with you. Enjoying being here for a couple weeks to help with the harvest. This evening, I've got a message before here that I preached it at home. I thought I'd just share it again with you. If you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to speak a little bit tonight on gentleness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 20 and 26. I know it's warm in here tonight, and I'll try to not to keep you too late here. Let's read here. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 to 26. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So far here we have a picture of a man that's been born again and is walking with God. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Verse 24. I don't know how many of you consider yourselves to be a servant of the Lord. You are here tonight and you've made a commitment and you're walking with God. That's what you are. You are a servant of the Lord. And as such, your mandate is, your commandment is, be gentle to all men. Unto all men. Be gentle unto all men. This is a command. What you are to do. You're not to do otherwise. You must be gentle. This commandment was meant to be obeyed as you approach life. As I said, everyone that is a servant of the Lord is commanded to be gentle. Not just for the leadership in the church. Maybe this was talking more directly to Timothy, a leader. But you are a servant of the Lord. If you are a Christian, you be gentle. Titus 3 verses 1 and 2 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now I told the ones at home that I feel like this is one thing that I could really grow in myself, this idea of gentleness, being gentle to people. You know, gentleness doesn't come natural to me necessarily. I probably fit that brawler category a little bit. It's just a little more easy for me to get in a fight than it is to be nice, probably. I think maybe for us men, maybe for us young men, that's especially the case. Haven't had the time to soften up a bit, to mellow. They all often talk about these old guys. You know, they really mellowed down a lot. Us young men. Gentleness doesn't come natural. Gentleness, I think, comes easier for wives, mothers, for women than it does for men. It certainly is how it is in our home. What is it to be gentle? What does it mean to be gentle? How do we understand gentleness? You know, a lot of this time of year, we're out there harvesting, cutting with the windrowers, and we got a different one this year, and Gene and I are trying to learn how to run it, and part of the process of harvesting is if you do it wrong, you end up shattering a lot of seed on the ground. You lose a lot because you weren't gentle with the crop. And this windrower running has a rheostat on the auger, so to speak, and you can make that auger go faster and faster and faster, and eventually your crop is just shuddering as it goes through there. Eventually, if you run it fast enough, it can't get through the hole, and fall out the bottom quick enough to as you're driving, and it wraps around the auger, and then you're plugged, and you lift the header, and that's it's flying. You just hear the seat on the windshield because, man, what a mess. Gentleness. Also, I already mentioned what it is the opposite of. Opposite of brawlers. Opposite of those that strive. It is characterized in the verses I read there by ease of entreaty. Someone that you come to and say, please, can you help me? Or can you help me in some way? Someone that's ready to take that entreaty, ready to work on your behalf. Gentleness. I think the dictionary portrayed it as sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. Easy to be entreated. We see this in the story. The opposite of this, in the story of the unforgiving servant. You know, he went out there and took his fellow by the throat and pay me what thou owest. No gentleness there. Tenderness is a close associate of gentleness. There's a word picture given to us in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. She washes them. She dresses them. She takes care of them. She feeds them. Makes sure that their needs were met. A nurse cherisheth her children. You think of a mother with a new baby. And the tenderness, the care that is put into that little person that cannot take care of itself. You know, all its needs, every little cry is met with, what can I do to help? What can I do to help this situation? That's how a mother approaches her baby. Does that describe your attitude towards all men? That's gentleness, that tenderness. You be gentle towards all men as a Christian. You might think of a doctor, working with someone that is sick, working with someone that is hurt. Maybe he has a broken leg or a broken arm. And what does this doctor do? Well, he's careful. So careful. Because there's pain. And he wants to do everything he can to help and to make this get better just as nice and easy as he can. Being gentle. James Herriot tells a story of when he was, I think maybe he volunteered to join either the Air Force or something, and he went to get his physical, and the doctor found that he had a chipped tooth, and so they were going to have to take care of this so it wouldn't cause a problem when he was flying an airplane. And so he went to the dentist. Well, it was obvious the dentist didn't really care. This was just another number on his list of people to work through today. And so eventually he took a chisel, basically, and knocked this tooth out. And boy, that story, it stuck with James. That was a spot in his life that he remembered. The lack of gentleness. I just have a few thoughts on gentleness here that I'd like to share tonight. First thing I thought of, it's hard to be gentle. It's hard to be gentle when you don't really care. When you don't really care about what's going on. Don't really care about the people involved. And this applies everywhere from washing dishes to running equipment. If you don't really care, you probably won't be very gentle. I've seen a lot of equipment in the field. I've seen a lot of drivers. And I've driven a lot of equipment myself. And some people you put in there and you don't know what's going to be left when you get back from wherever you went. Because, they don't care. It don't matter what happens. Another thing, we can learn to be gentle. I talked a little bit about, us young guys. That's a mandate for us. We must be gentle. We can learn that, even if it doesn't come natural for us. Even as I felt that as a father, I was kind of worried when we found out we were having our first child that I was going to have a boy and he was going to be about like me in personality. I was kind of worried about that, because I figured there'd probably be a bit of a clash there. Well, God knew what He was doing, and it didn't turn out that way. But I needed to learn some things as a father about being gentle. And I'm working on that. Not being gentle is a huge promoter of fear. A huge promoter of fear. I was going to tell a little story here about a brother and sister, Jake and Jenny, and their horse, Fanny. And how the Jake was always mean to the horse and Jenny was always nice. And there came an emergency situation where mom's life was on the line, and because of his meanness, this horse wouldn't respond to the boy Jake. But Jenny had always been nice, always been sweet to the horse. And she could catch it. She could catch it, and then they could go and fetch the doctor and save the life. Maybe you've heard that story. And in one way or another. But just as simple as it is, even in animals, not being gentle is a huge promoter of fear. How is it then as we relate to each other in a church situation? As we face failures, as we face things that I messed up on, things that I need help on, ways that I can improve my life. You know, if you deal with me in an ungentle manner, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of what you're going to do. I'm scared that, you know, you're going to knock my tooth out and go on with life. Not being gentle is a huge promoter of fear. We end up scared of people, scared of each other, scared of what we're going to do. Jesus says that my sheep know my voice and they come at my call. You know, the idea there of just a love towards the one that did it all for them. Gentle. Jesus was gentle. I've just got a few areas of our lives here that I thought we really need to be gentle in. And maybe these are ones that I struggle with myself. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think probably you can relate to them. One area I think we really need to be gentle is in our speech. What we say. How we talk about others. You know, if we use words like shut up with our children, you liar. And things like that. Aggressive, violent words. Our speech. What we say. Are we saying gentle things? Are we saying gentle things in the members' meeting? You know, us brothers, we get together and we sit around and we're going to discuss some problem and some issue in the church, some issue in somebody's life. You be gentle. That's your mandate as a servant of the Lord. You watch what you say. Gentleness in your speech. Another thing that I think that I need to learn, and I've already mentioned this, is gentleness with our children. And here again, my wife is much better at it than I am. You know, bath time comes around. It's time to bath the little guys and before we go to bed. And it's just better. Can Mom bath us this time? And oh, we want Mom to bath us. Why is that? Why is it better if Mom baths us? Well, Dad, he's trying to get this done. And if he can do it in a timely manner, he'll put up a little bit of noise to get done in a way that, you know, we can get on with life. Gentleness with the children. Now, that's something I'm trying to work on. You know, I try to get the little rag there and put it over their eyes and not get soap in their eyes. And take the cup, you know, rather than just dip them in and do it like Mom does. Be gentle with the children. I think that's something that you can look in your own life. If your children, or if children don't like you, if children aren't fond of you, you could probably work on your gentleness. I really think that's what it is. You be gentle to your children. Well, animals, another area that we can show what's going on in our own lives. It's a poor sign if our animals are afraid of us. Employees, you know, it's kind of a lot of pressure on to get the work done. Are you gentle with your employees? I think I maybe have told this story before. I was at a warehouse here where a man was trying to dump his seed, and he was working for this man that's known to be a high pressure guy, and they were having trouble with the truck, and this old guy was trying to get this truck working, and I don't know if he was maybe close to 60, and he was working on this truck, and his boss was on the two-way and telling him how to do this, and you know the pressure was on, and we got to get this truck going because the combines are waiting, and this old man was just sitting in the truck in his hand, and he was just shaking in the truck trying to make this work for his boss. And man, what a mess. What a mess. Are we gentle with our employees? Just remember in this that people are more important than things as you go through this season. Always, people are more important than things in every situation that happens. Well, another place that we need to be gentle is people who have fallen into sin. You know, it doesn't take much of a rocket scientist to see sin a lot of times. And it don't take a lot of courage to point out areas where others are wrong a lot of times. But it takes a lot of gentleness to actually heal the situation, actually fix it. And it's just like these people are hurting. like Teresa the other day. She came and she had a sliver in her foot. You know, pick it up off the porch, and she had a sliver in her foot, and you could see it. It was right there, and it was big, and it looked like it was in there a ways, and it hurt. And she wanted, can you get it out? Well, she wanted it out. She wanted rid of that thing, but she was so scared it was going to hurt. It was going to be pain there for me to get it out. Going to hurt her, and she wanted help, but oh, the pain. Lord, help me. Well, that's how it is in life when people have sinned often to come and want help to get over this thing. But the pain, you know, we want to get over it. We want to get rid of this sliver in my life. But it's going to hurt. And so I'm afraid to let you work on my life because of the pain that's going to come from that, from your efforts. Are we gentle? Are we gentle with each other when there's sin, when there's things to put away, things to get over? Well, I think if we're really going to bring healing, if we're really going to help people, we're going to be gentle. Be gentle with them. Well, another area I thought of in our witnessing. Are we gentle in our witnessing? And this is brought out in verse 25 and 26 that I read there. And maybe I'll just read them again. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, when we go out to help someone, to help someone to be a Christian, to help someone to be an overcomer, to get out of this snare of the devil, we're witnessing. It says to use meekness in the context of gentleness and meekness. I just find it hard to think that somehow we can have an arrogant, in-your-face, tell you where to get off at attitude in our witnessing and really get anything anywhere. I just think that's unchristian. You want to be like Christ in your witnessing, you be gentle, you be meek. Well, in closing here, I just want to point out again that Christ was gentle. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent am towards and bold towards you. Christ, meek and gentle. You look at Christ's life and you see tenderness in His healing. The healing of the blind man. The healing of the servant's ear, you know, where it was cut off there in the garden. Christ approached life gently. Mark 10, verse 13 to 16, and they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was displeased with them and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them and blessed them. That was Christ. That was Christ dealing with children. Just the tenderness and the gentleness. He wanted to help them, take them up in their arms. Do you think those children trusted Him? Absolutely they did. They knew somehow that what He wanted was for their good. Is that the way it is with us? Do children trust us? Those that are so easy to believe, so easy to forgive, so easy to see through the facade of Christianity sometimes. Do they trust you? If children don't trust you, you probably got a problem in our life. Well, the Holy Spirit is always gentle in His dealings with man. And the symbol there of a dove is used to portray the Holy Spirit. A still small voice. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. There again we just see the proof that if you've got the Spirit in your life, if you've got the Spirit of God, you will be gentle. It will be one of the fruits that come from you. And if you're hard and arrogant and not easy to get along with, if you can't approach situations with gentleness, you're missing the Spirit. Psalms 18:35, David talking there says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. You know, I really like the thought there of the gentleness has made Him great. As we relate to others, as we try to help others on to a greatness in their Christian lives, gentleness is a big part of that. David says, your gentleness has made me great. He recognized that God, in dealing with him, had been gentle to him. And that was one of the reasons that he could live above his sin and live like God wants him to. So I hope that's been a help to you. We'll call for a closing song.